welcome to episode 27 of Beyond Retro. I'm Nathan Kennedy, and we got the full experience this weekend. We got Tyler Baker and we got Joe Amato. How are you guys doing?
Oh, top of the world.
And he's on the top of the world because it's WrestleMania weekend. Today is WrestleMania, the show of shows, and it doesn't quite have that luster, that grandiose feeling like it used to. Now it's just kind of like, it's here. Let's get it over with. It's 7 hours long. But we're not going to talk about what's coming up today, maybe a little bit. We're going to talk about WrestleMania's in the past, some of our favorites, things we could have, they should have done differently, how we would have changed things, dream matches. I know Tyler's got a WrestleMania card in his mind already. I talked to him yesterday about that. Joe, you and I haven't really talked wrestling much because you guys did that show back in November and I missed it. So I'm happy to be here and to finally talk wrestling with everybody.
No, it'll be great. You're right. We haven't spoken of it. We all love wrestling. We all, you know, got into it at different times in our lives. But yeah, we'll definitely get into this. First, let me just say hello to Jake Juggalo, Tamara Shipper, and Chris Simpson all in the chat room. Thank you for joining us. And Chris Simpson was acknowledging your shirt there, Nathan, saying, he said, Nathan, effing love Aleister Black. Is that how you say it? Or did I pronounce it? Okay.
Yeah. I watched, I'm sure as he did as well, I did watch the NXT TakeOver show. I was actually more excited about that card. I usually am with the NXT TakeOver shows than I was what they had going on at WrestleMania. And last night did not disappoint at all. Every match was fantastic. The main event with Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa was, it lived up to the hype. It lived up to my expectation because I knew that these guys, they always go out there and pull out all the stops. And I figured since it's a wrestling episode, I would go ahead and bust out one of the very few wrestling shirts I actually do own.
Yeah, that's why me. I pulled out my Ultimate Warrior t-shirt. I was like, well, I got to at least do this one. But no, the NXT, like I said, I didn't see yesterday's TakeOver, which I'll probably just catch tomorrow. I'll have to put it on. But it seems like from what I always see, they put on usually one hell of a show because it's more focused on the wrestling than just the storyline, you know, soap opera feel that you get out of when they move on up to the WWE big roster and on Raw and SmackDown. You know, it's just, I miss that. I miss the wrestling. So it seems like when you go to NXT, you're getting more of that compared to, you know, the big show of WWE.
Yeah, and a lot of that, as much as I hate to give him credit for it, all of it goes to Triple H. Like, he is a fan of wrestling. He loves, like, that NWA, obviously, you know, because he patterned his title run in Evolution after Ric Flair and the Four Horsemen. He gets it. And, you know, having all of those veterans down there as well, you know, like when Dusty Rhodes was down there, he was a big help and a big influence on, you know, how that brand progressed and what they turned into. So, yeah, it's fantastic to see these guys go out, bust their ass. And they're not, I don't feel like they're being told to just like go out there and do the same style like you see on the product on the main roster today. It's so just plain. You know what to expect. It's all the matches are the same. But in NXT, it's like they go do your thing. And you can see that. It's just, I love NXT. The main product's just
it's different. And quickly before we get into the, you know, the main conversation, I just want to say Frosty Butcher and JSP, thank you for joining us well in the chat room. Good to have you here.
And I know Tyler doesn't keep up with it at all now.
No, you can blame John Cena, Alberto Del Rio, and how they book, you know, wrestling in general as to why I don't watch it anymore. You know, Nathan just over the years has like suggested watching this and trying that, and I would try it. Next thing I know, I'm like, God, it's more of the same shit over and over again, you know, with a small glimmer of something decent in there. I said, I'm not wasting my time with this anymore. You know, I just, I've said it before, like when John Cena squashed Nexus, I'm like, even though he's come out public and said that was not his decision to crush all of them at SummerSlam, I'm like, I don't care. That's it. Game over for me. If you guys are not willing to push new talent, build up heels, at least for a while, make you know, and work within the rules and ideals, that you set up in professional wrestling, then you're not giving any more of my time. I'm not going to go watch your pay-per-views. I'm not going to support merchandise and stuff. I'm just not going to do it. I mean, it's getting over Alberto Del Rio by having him win the Royal Rumble. No one knows who the hell he is. And like, this is not how you book a new guy, by wasting an epic pay-per-view on somebody that's like, I don't care who this guy is, you know. And that's just a small example of why I don't watch it anymore.
And I mean, you're right, because Del Rio, man,
he sucks, man.
When he came back again, I'm just like, oh god, why'd they bring him back? And I just saw that he got released from Impact, and I'm like, god, is he coming back again? I can't handle him.
I know, that's what I fear too, Nathan. I seen the same thing. They said he was just released from TNA. I was like, oh god, does that mean now he's gonna be one of these people that's gonna pop up, that he might be in the Battle Royal, or god forbid he was ended up being Braun Strowman's partner or some nonsense? It's like, I get scared of the thought of it. Hopefully he just doesn't show up. I like I said, I never got into him at all.
Yeah.
But, no, it's just, you're right. It's I know they've changed. They've changed drastically, but I wish they would get a little bit back more into just feeling how wrestling used to be. And I'm not talking about in the 80s, early 90s, which, yeah, those were some of my most memorable times when it comes to wrestling. But, I mean, it seems like now they're doing a lot more of the soap opera storytelling, whether it's in the ring, backstage, whatever. It's like so much of it, and you don't get enough good wrestling. That's what I mean, like I said, that's what just seems sad about it. And I've even heard, I really hope this isn't true, but I've heard that they're even given scripts now to what they're supposed to say back. Yeah, it's like, what happened to off the cuff? Like, when you'd have as crazy as something the Ultimate Warrior might have said. At least it was coming from him. It was intense. You'd have Hogan. You'd have Macho Man. Ravishing Rick Rude. Whoever it was. Sure, maybe they were told some things maybe to say, but usually it was coming right from the heart, off of the top of the head. You know what I mean? It felt more natural. Now people are reading these scripts, and it seems off character for some of them. It's like, this doesn't sound like this character, which even takes away from their character. It's, you know, let them be this character instead of reading what is being wrote. And it just, I don't know, feels so flat. Some of these people, you can even tell some of the characters that used to really be good and doing it, you know, themselves, you know, when they're being told what to read, and it just, it doesn't seem like it's them no more.
Yeah, it's all Vince's idea. If that somehow he's got it in his head that he wants it to be like a legitimate TV show. And it's just, you know, you hear it over the years. It's like, dude, you're a wrestling product. No, I'm sports entertainment. You're wrestling. Yes. It's wrestling. It's wrestling ring. It's not, oh god. It can be a belt and a title. It doesn't matter. Like, he has, he's driven away so many people. Like, I think the main factor for me was the invasion, as bad as that was, it drove so many people away, and I was like pretty much almost gone, and then came back a little bit, and then, you know, the brand split happened. That was sort of exciting for like 2 months, and then
you know, hey, one more thing. It's something that JSP just said, and I guess I didn't even think about it until he just said it, and it's true. He said, and they're told, do not look at the camera. You know, I didn't even realize it, because you remember back in the day when they would cut a promo, they'd look at the camera like they're speaking to the person that, you know, they're having their beef with. But you could feel it. It felt like not only talking to them, you could feel the emotion, because you as the viewer are looking at the intensity of their eyes and hearing what they have to say. It's like you were connected. And JSP, I never realized it, but you're right. They're now looking off to the side. They're looking this way. You know, they're not in it with you. It's... wow. Thanks for that, JSP. I didn't even realize, but you are damn right about that.
And I mean, there are some people on the roster now that can, like, sort of veto, like, going by a certain script. Like, yeah, there'll be, like, bullet points that they'll need to cover, but some of them, I guess if they've sort of proved themselves to Vince or whatever, it's so weird. The wrestling business is so weird. It's like they have that whole thing where you're back there, you need to shake hands with everybody. If you don't, then you got heat. And it's just, it's so weird.
You know, I could say that maybe if they wanted to do the script thing for some of the people that really have bad mic skills, like one person, Chris Simpson brought up about Bayley. Bayley is really bad when she cuts a promo. I mean, she is bad. So I guess if you want to try to help her out with the promo, but some people don't need it. Like, you know, when you talk about The Miz, people want to give that guy crap, you know, all the time. I'll tell you what, he could talk. that guy is a talker, and I don't think he needs help from a script. I don't even know if he uses one, but he doesn't need it, and, you know, it shows.
He is definitely a wrestler that has improved a lot. Tyler can tell you that, maybe 10 years, 8, 10 years ago, like, I hated The Miz.
I thought he was trying too hard to be him. Like, and there's good heat and there's bad heat. And, you know, and to me, he the kind of heat that was just like, this is not cool heat. Like, he's trying to come up with his, I'm the Miz and I'm like, that's not a really cool catchphrase to end your promos with. I just didn't see it. Like, he had the look of it, but I just felt like it just fell flat for me.
He has gotten better.
You're right. I mean, he's one hell of a worker too. I mean, somebody that does wrestling, you got to respect that. But yeah, there's some people like, Jake Juggalo mentioned Broken Matt Hardy. See, that's what I love. I love that sometimes give us some more of the gimmicks, you know, the actual gimmicks of these characters and him looking at the camera, the way he talks and just the insanity, all the stuff he does. It's what's kind of expected sometimes to have these unique gimmicks. Let them run with the gimmick. And like when it comes to the females, you know, Bayley, I can't stand hearing her talk when she cuts a promo. Sasha Banks is also painful. But when you think of Alexa Bliss, not only does she work her ass off, but, you know, in the ring wrestling, but she, you could tell somebody that some people just have it. She naturally can cut a promo. She's good at that. So, yeah, strange.
Yeah, and she's she's one of those weird things too, where it's like, here's someone you don't expect much of, and then she just kept improving and improving, and her promos are good. I would say that Sasha's are okay, but she's too more like, all of her promos sound like, you know, I'm the boss, like just that same, whereas like, you know, if you're a good promo, it's like you can just sort of go all over the place and whatever you say draws the people in, and you know, like Vince needs to let them be themselves, you know, like the reason that Austin and Rock work so well is because that was kind of like part of their personalities just dialed up. And now it's like, oh, you're playing this character.
You're right. It was them. Character. You're right. That was their character. Like I said, you know, like built upon it, but you could tell that's parts of them, but it's amplified. But then it works so good when you know you have that in you. That's what makes it great. When you'd hear The Rock come with so many crazy expressions, but you could tell that's him, his character, Stone Cold, of just being a badass. That's parts of him, but he was able to bring that out. So yeah, they need to definitely let these wrestlers, with whatever character they might create, let them go with it and build it, because it comes out so much more naturally than being, you know, scripted of what you have to read and what is your character. Let you build your character and be that person. That's what makes it more, you know, in depth, like you're getting engrossed with it when you can connect with something that somebody's doing.
Yeah, and I, you know, competition goes a long way as well. If there was a company that could legitimately compete with them, maybe it would help them change a little bit. But, you know, that hasn't been around for a while. I mean, you could say TNA, but I would never say that they were a competitor to them, like, ever. I don't know how anyone else feels about that. Does anyone think
Rhodes? Look at poor Cody Rhodes. I mean, never really given, you know, his time to be who he is in WWE. Then he goes somewhere else, and then Ring of Honor, and look at this character that he's created and now become. And now it's like he was actually able to express himself and, you know, these other organizations. And you wondered, if he ever makes his WWE return, will they allow him to be this character as how he is and how, you know, let that character shine? Or would they try to, you know, like repackage him and then turn it into something that doesn't work?
I guess it sort of depends on, like, how Vince sees it. You know, if it's in Vince's ear, like, look what he's gone and done, look how much money he's made, then I guess there's a chance. You know, I guess that's why he went ahead and greenlit Matt Hardy going back to his broken gimmick, though he wouldn't, you know, even though they didn't have the trademark, and now that Matt does, Vince isn't keen on him probably using broken as a name, because Vince
he doesn't control it. It's
not woken, damn it.
That's you're like, right. Oh, come that's on. Not his. It's not his control. So it's like, you're right. You're not going to use Woken. It's like, no, let him go back, be broken. And hell, you know, you're obviously going to get portions of whatever merchandising, but that's like a merchandising machine. When you think of all the stuff that if they can do it right with Matt Hardy, all the things they can have with all the t-shirts of, you know, Senior Benjamin or Vanguard and his, you know, his drone, his boat of all things. You could have the mower of lawns, the chair of wheels. You know, people would buy that shit up, whether it was on a t-shirt or even if they made a little gimmick thing to go with an action figure. That is a marketing machine that they could definitely profit off of if they allow it, but
Oh, but here's also the other inconsistent thing is, like, if you are pushing merchandise, then if it was certain people, Vince will be like, oh, I'm going to push them, you know, and then there's other people that will sell a shitload of merchandise. And then they kind of just hover here again. Like, Rusev is a perfect example. Like, I hope that he wins the title tonight because, you know, he's gotten over. He did something on his own, more or less.
Yeah, this Rusev Day is really catching on, which even Chris Simpson just said that in the chat room. He said, happy Rusev Day. But yes, this whole Rusev Day, it's like things just sometimes catch fire.
Yeah, and Vince has a problem with if something catches fire, he waits too long, and then when he wants to capitalize on it, no one cares anymore. And that's just, I can't imagine being a talent and something like that happening. And then, like, Zack Ryder is an example. You know, he had that YouTube show. It started getting him attention. And then eventually Vince, they kind of pushed him, but they did this really dumb angle with Kane. And you could tell that it just, like, destroyed him for a while. Yeah. I can't imagine how that would feel if I was in that position.
Gotta strike when the iron's hot, as they say, you know.
Yeah.
But, well, Tyler, we've rambled a whole bunch about stuff, so might as well pass it to you with what you have to say, and eventually we'll get in our WrestleMania discussion.
I don't have jack shit to say about current wrestling, man. I mean, it's, you know, everything you guys touched on is just strictly Vince has got a board of directors he has to answer to because they don't like the idea of wrestling. So everybody's got to be writing a script because we got Freddie Prinze Jr. and a bunch of other lame-ass writers telling what Dolph Ziggler can and can't say and why we're going to be giving away the main event of Backlash on this week's Raw for free and then repeat the same match on Backlash for $50. And
question for you Tyler, because I didn't know if you were serious or what. Did you say Freddie Prinze Jr. writes for them? Is that serious or
at one point?
Yeah, he did at one point. Yeah, he was actually one of the writers on the writing staff. Yeah.
I never knew that. Wow.
Yeah. So when you got a bunch of people who don't know how to book wrestling, they're just writing stories as if they were writing TV shows, and these guys who are going out and challenging each other for fake belts and supposed to build up feuds that male fans can relate to and now female fans should be able to relate to, they can't because, you know, it's just, you know, they just don't know how to build up feuds properly. They're so eager to get them in the ring when a heel and a baby face that's real popular should not be touching each other, shouldn't even be in the same ring until the fans pay their $40 for that pay-per-view, you know, or whatever special occasion, you know. It's not the days of the Monday Night Wars where you're desperate to beat the other companies, so you put Rock and Austin in a last-minute title match on Raw so you can beat Goldberg and Hogan on Nitro, you know. It's just, you have time to build up stuff. You don't have to give it away or waste it to keep building it up. It worked for them in the 80s and in the 90s when you get three guys booking WWF with McMahon, Bruce Pritchard, and Pat Patterson. Somehow three guys managed to get it right and made billions of dollars, but they can't seem to figure out why the hell no one's going to see our WWE-produced movies with Kane and Holly Berry. I don't know what's going on, you know. It's more focused on all this other horse shit that we make movies, damn it.
Well, the weird thing is, revenue-wise, is the most money they've made, like, ever, which is strange. I guess it's just some of the other avenues that they have taken have somehow been profitable. And I will say that's one thing I do like about the modern product is what they have done with the women's division. They ditched that whole Divas thing. And, you know, like, you actually have women wrestling.
And women wrestling for a good length of time. You're right. With that Divas thing, it was, I mean, you rarely ever see them wrestle. Maybe you're lucky you'd get them once a night or every 2 weeks.
Oh, hell no.
Yes. Yeah,
more than enough on Raw to where, like, it was crickets.
That's what I mean. In the matches, you're right.
Yelling in the ring.
Yeah, these Divas matches were like lasting less than 3 minutes. I mean, they were quick. But now you're right. Let's get it back to the women's championship, not Divas. And they're actually putting on a good show. They're wrestling for a good length of time, and sometimes you'll get a couple of those matches a night, and that's what they deserve. I mean, right. And he's also, that's another thing, you're talking about ways of merchandising and marketing. They're actually making the rest, a lot of the wrestling figures now, they'll have them to where there's dolls for the females of, you know, the wrestlers. So Alexa Bliss is an actual doll. Then they have smaller action figures, but they're packaged to where they are painted up and it looks more female friendly, if you will, but it's not actual hair. But they're pushing a lot of stuff for the girls to let the girls get into wrestling just as much as the guys. So hell, you got to applaud them for that, for them performing.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, really cool that they started to do that, because, you know, I imagine that there are a lot of female fans, you know, like if there's older females, maybe, you know, the way it's always been, or seems like it's always been, if they've been into the dudes, they think they're all like sexy and hot and everything. But now it's like, it's also another thing, because you see the women that are wrestling now, and most of them grew up liking wrestling, you know, and then when Lita and Trish started, like they were like, I want to do that. And now it's kind of like it's opened up this doors for, you know, all of them. It's like now they actually have a chance. You can make it as a female in professional wrestling and reach like that, the Mecca, as they call it.
Right. Well, would you want to pass it to Tyler and have Tyler start up with now some WrestleMania discussion? Since we have some current stuff that I know he'd give two shits about.
I guess I'll ask this question to you guys first. What is the first WrestleMania that you remember watching?
I'll let Tyler go.
I had seen matches from WrestleMania on like compilation tapes. So probably the first one I saw was probably Hogan Andre, but the first WrestleMania in its entirety was WrestleMania 6. Because when I realized that when I started seeing VHS tapes of wrestling in the video stores, I was renting the Hulkamania tapes, and then I would see the WrestleManias, and that's when I started kind of dabbling more into the older stuff and whatever I could get my hands on. But WrestleMania, Andre versus Hogan was the first WrestleMania match I ever saw, but WrestleMania 6 I watched from beginning to end. That was the first complete one. And I wouldn't see a WrestleMania live on pay-per-view till WrestleMania 18, just because my family didn't get pay-per-views. It was just one of those things you just had to see the results on Superstars or Raw or whatever the case may be.
For me, it was WrestleMania 3. Never seen part 2. I mean, till that time, you know, I never seen two and never seen the first one. But the third one was the first, because my cousin, they started getting all the wrestling pay-per-views, because they were like everybody in the day, you know, they were really into that. So that started becoming a tradition of going to my cousin's to watch the WrestleMania. So it was part 3 was the first one for me. And then, yes, from every other one, started going over there all the time to where you mentioned 6. Yeah, that one definitely had me pumped up. So, but which, you know, we'll get to that stuff later, because you think about that back in the day. You know, when you'd watch wrestling, there was what you had, the good guy and the heel. I mean, you know who was who. And it wasn't usually you didn't see the good guys getting booed to pieces during a pay-per-view or seeing the good and the bad guys getting cheered. It was usually the good guys got cheered, the bad guys got booed most of the time. And then, yes, you would see some of the people in the crowd applauding for a bad guy or you know, and booing the good guy. But I always remembered you never seen two goods go after each other, two bads for pay-per-views. So when WrestleMania 6 came around and you had the Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, you're like, wait, what's happening again now? You know, because you're like, these are two good guys. Wait, they both got belts? It's championship versus championship? And the crowd is like cheering for them both? It's like, I can't boo this guy. I can't boo that guy. You love them both, but you do have somebody who does want to be the winner. You know, you do have that pick. I remember I had to walk to school the following day, but then the one neighbor started giving me rides again, because I remember I watched that pay-per-view over his house with his family and his daughters and everything that I went to school with. And I was all for, I was like, the Ultimate Warrior's got to win. It's got to be the Warrior. He was like, no. He said, this is a Hogan house. He says, if the Ultimate Warrior wins, he says, you're not getting a ride to school tomorrow. I said, no, come on. He's like, no. He said, you're not getting a ride to school tomorrow. So sure enough, the Warrior won. I'm going freaking bananas. He's like, I'm serious. You're not getting a ride. Catch the bus. I had to catch the bus. And then I started getting rides again. But yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because his daughter, like I said, I'd go, you know, we'd ride together. the school, but I had to catch a bus. That's how he was into it. He wasn't joking. He was really into it. And I was like, well, there you go. But I remember that two good guys. It was the first for me that I could remember. Not saying maybe it hasn't happened before, but that was the most memorable of seeing two good guys fighting, you know, for, well, both belts too. You never even heard that. Like, wait, somebody's going to have both championships? It was like, it was unheard of.
Yeah, no, that was like, WrestleMania 6 was also the first one that I watched in full, but that was also a thing where I rented the tape because, like Tyler, I didn't start getting the pay-per-views until I was like 12 because, you know, my parents just didn't really have any part of it. It's like, well, they're not wanting to throw down the $30, $40 to get the pay-per-view. So when the Monday Night Wars started picking up, that's when it started off as I'd be like, the summertime pay-per-views when, you know, I wouldn't have to be at school the next day, we would get those. And then, you know, if there was a pay-per-view that fell somehow where, like, on a Monday there was some sort of, like, school holiday, like teacher work day or something, and we didn't have to be there, I would get those shows. And then eventually it just evolved into I was getting every WCW show and then, like, sporadically getting WWF shows. And then I was kind of, like, getting both. And then I would have to, like, mow the yard to, like, it was, like, certain things that was, like, you know, if you mow the yard and you do this and you do this, that will kind of, like, cover the pay-per-view fee. Or, you know, I would invite my cousin over, or my friend Josh. Tyler's came over to my house for a couple of them back then. And I think at one point Josh and I were, like, splitting the money for it. He would, like, come over and give me, like, $20, and then I would just immediately hand it to my dad and everything. But 6 was the first one that I watched in full. And then the first one I saw live, I want to say, was I'm trying to work it all in my head now. I guess it'd be WrestleMania 15. That sounds about right. That was the first one, like, I got live and actually just sat and watched. Pretty sure, because I'm getting it sort of confused. Like, it was 15, and then 16 was WrestleMania 2000. So that's, and then So it was 15 was the first one I saw live. But back to WrestleMania 6, I was with you, Joe. Ultimate Warrior, that's who I wanted to win. I'm pretty sure Tyler wanted Hogan, right?
Oh yeah, I rented it strictly on the grounds of, because I wouldn't rent anything unless Hogan had a match on it, and for a lot of stuff, I would begrudgingly sit through the pay-per-view just to watch Hogan's match, unless it was, you know, like Demolition or Jake the Snake Roberts wrestling, and I would sit and watch that, but I would just, you know, would only get it for Hogan. And my brother was a Warrior fan too, and I rented that, and oddly enough, he didn't seem to care about watching the pay-per-view. Like, he was such a Warrior fan, but he had no interest in actually watching. He was outside playing when I was watching, and I had to come out and tell him Warrior won. He was just kind of indifferent. Like, for Head, who loved Warrior, had figures and a T-shirt. He just could care less at the time of that Warrior beat Hogan. So I was pretty crushed about that, because it was but not in the sense that watching him lose to the Genius when Mr. Perfect interfered and Hogan got, I think, DQ'd, I think, for that. I was pretty pissed off about that. But it has grown into be such a – and it always was like the cliche thing for years, especially in the early days of the internet, to trash Hogan, the trash Warrior, guys who made tremendous money in the business, who helped Hogan single-handedly put wrestling on the map. I don't give a damn about what anyone else says. No one could argue it. Austin and Rock wouldn't be able to do what they do if Hogan had not made wrestling the juggernaut worldwide that it was. So, it's a great match in general, but I've since have gone back and was able to track down the WrestleMania 1 when they had released all the old WrestleManias on VHS that had not been, I don't think the first batch were tampered with, you know, because I think WrestleMania 1 had Eye of the Tiger playing when Hogan and Mr. T came to the ring, but if you buy, like, the later copies, they had Hogan's entrance. Like, wait a second here.
I didn't know that.
I'm like, what? I thought Eye of the Tiger. It wasn't not that it was arguing Real American was playing. But I thought Eye of the Tiger was playing in this one version. I don't get it. And that's when you realize they started tampering with all their old ones because of the World Wildlife Foundation and all this other you know, other stuff while they keep tampering with it. But, you know, WrestleMania 2, you know, I strictly just watched the main event. WrestleMania 3, you know, it was classic. And WrestleMania 7, remember renting that when it came out on VHS. And WrestleMania 8, I mean, it all came through VHS. I, you know, most of the stuff, I wouldn't even know who won. You know, for the most part, it was like I had no idea, who won any of those pay-per-views until I actually watched it. Like, I never heard of Warrior versus Hogan until I saw the VHS tape. Oh, had wow. No idea who had wrestled, you know. So that
was kind of... I love that match. I love that they got to do their move for move, their trademark stuff, because I remember when the Warrior picked up Hogan, you know, dropped him, and then he ran off the ropes and jumped, did the splash, and barely pushed him over, and then one, two, and the Hogan kicks out. It's like, oh no. I was like, this is going to happen. He's going through his whole routine and everything. He gives him the big boot, runs off the ropes, goes for a leg drop. Then the Warrior gets up and splashes him, and bam, he gets him. It was a cool, just wow factor for me, you know, because you figured up here comes the routine. You know, the Warrior got to do his thing with shaking on the ropes, but then Hogan did his whole thing. But it was a twist, because I think everybody expected right after Hogan kicked out, went through his whole thing, did the boot, you figured, oh, damn it, it's over. And right when I seen the Warrior get up, I was like, I think this is it. And he's like, what a damn cool moment. But yeah, I didn't realize about all the editing too either, Tyler, until, well, you know, if you'd watch the pay-per-views and then let's say the week, you know, following or whenever it might be, they might show highlights and you're hearing stuff that didn't happen. Like, you know, in the Royal Rumble where they were rooting for Sid, you know, Justice to win. And with Sid, you know, was, you know, throughout Hogan, they're cheering like crazy. But then on TV, they head it to where they're booing, and then Ric Flair, after Hogan grabs Sid's hand and then Ric Flair throws him over. It's like, that wasn't it. I heard the cheering. I have it on tape. There's cheering. Why did they edit to where there's booing? They did different. And then, like, even like you said, change of music where there was, you know, the match made in heaven with Macho Man and Elizabeth getting married on pay-per-view. And before that, they had some like wedding love song, like You Came Into My Life or whatever. But I think if you were to watch it on the WWE Network now, it's a completely different song. So I didn't know about all that trademark stuff either. Like, wait, why can't they use this? Why are they changing that? It's stuff I never knew.
I mean, I get all that, and you know, it does take away some of the luster of some of these matches because you saw them as a certain way. But I you know, and for years I know Nathan would give me shit for liking Hogan because he would always slam. I don't think he would necessarily slam NWO Hogan, but Real American Hogan.
It's a thing of like, for me, I loved Hogan as a kid. You know, and then Warrior came along and sort of like changed it for me. And then I guess I sort of felt like how the fans were feeling there towards the end of his WWF run. And you could see it. Like, I guess I just got tired of him. Like, you start to pick up. It's like he does the same things as how every match ends with him. Even as a kid, I'm like, yeah, I guess I just got tired of him. And then, you know, he came to WCW. And at that point, I didn't care. And then that was really bad. It's like, it's just the same shit all over again. And then, you know, my cousin tells me, it's like, Hogan turned bad. And I'm like, wait, what do you mean? And then, like, that was cool for a while. And then it just, NWO's got 72 members in it. And that's the same shit every weekend.
Yeah.
It would be exciting. Yeah, like, it was exciting at the time, but it did start to wear on you. Like, it didn't have legs after a period of time. It's like, well, where are we going with this? And then I started getting smarter to it because I started having more access to the internet and started reading stuff. And even a little bit before then, I'm like, I think Kevin Nash is going to win World War III this year. It's just a feeling. And then sure as shit, he did. And then it turned into a thing. Like, I would come up to Tyler when we started being friends and I just be like, oh, this and this is going to happen like 6 months down the road probably. And then it would happen. And it's like we'd go and watch wrestling shows at a local bowling alley because this was before the network and everything. And it was just cheaper to do that than to spend the astronomical price for it because the prices started going up. And I can't remember what show it was, but something happened. And I yelled out, I'm like, it's going to be a triple threat at Mania. Don't worry about it because everyone was like pissed off. and then ended up being a triple threat at Mania. I'm trying to remember which one that one was, though.
The great Karnak of wrestling. You could predict everything that was going to happen.
Well, and that's sad, right? Because you want it to be unpredictable. I wish it would be more unpredictable for me. Like, when I was watching the TakeOver thing last night, there were some things that happened. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody. But there were things that happened. I'm like, oh, I totally wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, and I like the surprises. Like,
yeah, it was good stuff.
No, it is. I was going to say, real quick, while you guys talk, I want to go grab something, because speaking of tapes and everything, I'm going to grab a tape and I'll have a story of it, because it's the only time I can have a story about buying a tape like Tyler does. But you guys, go ahead. I'll be back.
Okay. Back to the editing thing. I'm glad that they settled all that, so when you go and watch stuff on the network, pre-WWE branding, like, it's still, they don't edit out the F, they don't blur everything anymore. So that's good. I'm glad that, because that was really annoying there for a little while.
And I mean, I bought, I think, the first two sets of those WrestleMania like compilation sets, and there's blurs on multiple WrestleManias where it's you see all these like patches of blur like throughout the ring. Like, God, this is just, it takes you out of the match with all these like constant blurs that you can't see that F on the turnbuckle. I mean,
yeah, and I would hate to have been those guys that had to sit and just at a computer all day, having to blur that and not have it like mess with, because you know, it's like certain camera angles, someone's getting Irish whip, there's the blur and the turnbuckle, and now it's like I don't really know how editing works with that stuff. I imagine that couldn't have been easy to do.
No, because of how, I mean, how long some of the pay-per-views are, like stopping in every angle, you know, flipping from different cameras from behind the turnbuckle. Now you're back in the ring, and just, I mean, on the aprons, anytime someone says WWF during a promo, you have to edit the F out. And
yeah, and that, but it's not like that anymore.
No, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, I think it might be like that if they release stuff on DVD now. I don't know if that still gets edited or not, but on the network, it is completely unedited. Now, they do change the music still. For some reason, I guess they still have an issue with like music that Jimmy Hart did in WCW. So like when DDP comes out, it's like a ripoff of that. And then obviously all the ECW stuff they had to change, because you can't just have real music
change and stuff like that.
Yeah.
There. I was gonna say real quick. When Blockbuster Video went out of business, I remember I was so excited because finally I was like, I could buy some wrestling tapes, because there was ones I never rented, but there was this World Tour 1991 that had a lot of cool, unique matches. And, you know, I was excited to get this because it had a Coliseum exclusive. It was Hulk Hogan and Ultimate Warrior versus Sergeant Slaughter, General Adnan, and The Undertaker. So there was like this one I got that I thought, damn, that's kind of cool. And I'm going to lead to one that it was a shame that it wasn't ended up what I wanted. I got this one called the WWF Big Main Event. A lot of old school wrestling on that. So this is a cool one. I got the WWF's most unusual matches. There's things with like Beefcake and a lot of others, some kind of crazy old school battle royals. And
no one wants to watch Beefcake matches.
Then I got the What's Inside the Steel Cage. Got the Steel Cage match. And I mean, one of them is Steel Cage match. It's Tito Santana and Bruno Sammartino versus Macho Man and Adrian Adonis. But we talk about WrestleMania 6, and they had, well, WrestleMania 6, they had this. And I just bought every single thing, you know, all those ones, got them home. And I was so saddened that when I took out the tape, it was Best of the Best 3 that was in this jacket.
Oh, what a joke.
It's like, what a piece of shit. I was so mad, and they're going out of business. There was no refunds. I was like, oh, so I got the cool-ass box and everything, and this piece of crap Best of the Best 3. I was like, well... So I guess I did have a stupid-ass wrestling story for you, Tyler. How crappy was that? I was so giddy. I was like, ugh.
That's like the one time I bought Night of the Demons on DVD from Amazon, and I open it up, and it's that Elvis Presley movie. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
Was that on a clearance, or was something at one of them stores?
No. I like it came in. It was sealed and everything. Had, you know, like the sticker on the top said Night of the Demons, completely sealed. Open it up, and there's an. I guess somehow in the manufacturing, something got messed up. But
wow,
yeah, I sent it back, and you know, I got another copy, and everything was fine. But I just pop it open, and you just see Elvis Presley on this disc. I'm like, what?
Yeah, yeah, I guess so. Not what you're expecting, huh? But yeah, so
that WrestleMania 6 cover is awesome. I always thought though that like Hogan looked really fat on it. Like he didn't look as muscular as he like.
I see what you mean. Was kind of like, that,
sticking out to me.
Yeah, he's masked there. War is definitely, you know, more cut. But
yeah, I see what you mean. Yeah, how his stomach and chest is in a way in that pose, but
yeah, he just looks kind of like bloaty. He looked way different than he did at the time, I guess.
But it does have a thing. I did always like the, you know, the lightning in the background. Yeah. I mean, it just looked all kind of electrifying. It's like, yeah, it's a pretty dynamic cover. But
what's the tagline for that WrestleMania?
The greatest. Wait, it says Coliseum presents the greatest event in WWF history, WrestleMania 6.
Yeah, it's right there on the front of it, right? The Ultimate Challenge, I think. Tyler.
Oh, right here on the back. Yeah, the Ultimate Challenge. Yeah, yeah. It has it right on the back of it and has the entire lineup. Yeah.
Yeah, except the actual tagline. You go through the roster, like the list of matches, and go down the card.
There you go.
Well, let me ask you guys this. I mean, because you know we've been all over the place here, so why not just keep up with it here? In your all's eyes, what are some of probably the most botched or most unappealing WrestleMania moments? I mean, from if you want to go back as far as one to recently, or just ones that come to mind. I mean, things that you just felt like, I mean, hell, there's some that, you know, as a kid I thought were great, and as an adult I'm like, you know what, God, they could have done that was horrible. You know, I think of WrestleMania 9 where Bret loses to Yokozuna and Hogan comes out and they throw in this last minute, you know, title runs so Hogan can do the European tour with the belt before he drops it. I mean,
that was the worst WrestleMania.
Oh, God, it was bad.
So, what was wrong with his eye? Real quick, what happened to Hogan's eye?
Jet ski accident the day before. I think he was out with Beefcake, and they were out, had a jet ski accident out on the water, and the I think the handlebar hit Hogan in the eye. And because I've listened to because I was trying to think because I heard it clarified. I'm trying to figure which one of the shoots that I listened to, because I know Beefcake was there.
Is that when Beefcake destroyed his face, or was that something previous? No, that was previous.
Parasailing accident where he had his face all mangled up.
Girl,
he was trying to lift up in with the parasail. Her knees came over and crushed his skull in.
Damn.
But yeah, it was a jet ski accident. That's why Hogan had that really. I remember when I saw him, like, what the hell's wrong with Hogan's eye?
Wasn't there like a rumor like Savage punched him or something?
Yeah, that was, you know, had been lingering around for years. But no, it was a jet ski accident. I guess maybe someone tried to turn it into an angle, because the idea of letting the audience, oh, Hogan had a jet ski accident because he was reckless on the water or whatever, and it hit him in the eye, as opposed to got in a fight with Savage, man. Oh, no way. You know, it sounds more, I guess, you know, interesting than a jet ski accident.
Yeah.
But that's one that, as an adult, I'm like, as much as I love Hogan, that was a terrible idea. I don't care
So basically, your question is kind of like, if there's something we could change or something we felt that the result was just wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. Something that you just felt like, you know what, this is not good for business. I mean, even as a kid or as an adult, something that you just felt like, ugh.
First one that comes to mind, like immediately, Triple H beating Booker T at WrestleMania 19.
Oh, God, that was awful.
That should have been the other way around, especially, you know, after the promos that were kind of like fueled by racism in an indirect way. And then for him to just pedigree him, and then there's like a whole 30 seconds before he even pins him. Like, Booker T should have won that match. I think the other thing that I would have changed is having Punk's title run end at Mania, have it in the main event in a triple threat with The Rock and Cena, instead of doing that whole, oh, wait a minute, it's not once in a lifetime, it's now they're doing it again. Plus, you saw it coming from a mile away when they started doing everything. It's like, oh, okay, well, Rock's gonna beat Punk at the Rumble. Gee, I wonder who's gonna win the Royal Rumble. Like, they should have just done a triple threat with that. Punk could have held on to the belt longer. Or even if he did drop it to Rock, somehow put him back in the picture so he can get a rematch, but do it in a triple threat at Mania. And it also does the thing where Punk gets the main event that he always wanted to have. Maybe that would have kept him happy and he would have stuck around. But if he hadn't stuck around, then the whole Daniel Bryan thing wouldn't have happened. So, maybe everything worked out the way it needed to. But I definitely would have changed that, because he deserved at that point to kind of be there and not just be pushed down. Oh, well, here's the Undertaker match. And, you know, that's cool. Also would probably change that. I wouldn't have had Brock in the streak.
No, hell no.
I mean, it, you know, they could have done a thing where Roman beat him and ended the streak. But don't keep Roman face still. Kind of turn him heel and just be like, you know, he beat Taker. He ended the streak kind of thing. I don't know. Trying to think of some other stuff like previous WrestleManias.
Orton losing to Triple H at Mania when they had built that up so well, but Triple H uses a sledgehammer during the match. I'm like, if you're following the rules of a babyface, this makes no sense whatsoever. And to have Orton, like, they finally is like, okay, this is his time. He'll win the Rumble. You feel like he's going to be crowned champion at WrestleMania. Triple H will put him over. No. I just, and not that I was an Orton fan, but it just felt like this doesn't, it just feels unnecessary. How many times has Triple H walked away champ in some of the biggest shows on pay-per-view? It's an ungodly amount of times. And
yeah.
How about, think about the waste of all the hype of finally bringing Sting to WWE after all these years, and for him to lose, like, what the hell? All yeah. this anticipation, was like, Sting's here, oh my God. And he loses, like, what fucking, yeah. It didn't make sense. That yeah. was, oh God, that just was dumb as shit.
Yeah, that was probably when Tyler started talking again about Triple H. I was like, oh yeah, that one just popped in my head where he beat Sting, and I'm like, Sting needed to win that one, but Vince has it in his head that, like,
why do that to him? You know, I mean, that's what sucks is you. Is it because he was the only guy that never came to your company to upset you? So when, all right, we finally got you, we're gonna pay you big money, but you're gonna have to lose this match.
It's yeah. like, it's just his way of being like, I'm better than WCW. They never beat me for 82 weeks or whatever in the ratings.
Just stupid. I didn't like yeah. that. And one that is probably not even really memorable to almost anybody listening to this, but I remember, yes, back in the day, it was about gimmicks and things. And when you'd see somebody that you'd think, wow, this is an impressive-looking human being, only to see him just look like a moron and the match suck, was when The Undertaker fought Giant Gonzalez. Now, I know that stupid-ass outfit he had, you know, with that goofy fur and the painted-on muscles look sillier than hell, but I was expecting, like, just this big monster match with these two big dudes, and it just looked so damn clunky.
Yeah.
That's my thing.
That was WrestleMania 9 as well, right? Like, that show just sucked.
It did.
Sucked. Up and down. Yeah, like, that entire card was just ass.
Yeah, at least we got Doink the Clown. No.
That was, man, those manias from, like, that new generation era and the gimmicky stuff where they're still trying to figure out everything, like, those are some rough ones to watch. Like, I've gone back and watched, you know, WrestleMania 9. You know, 10 had its moments, but you know, you had 11 and 12 that were kind of in there too. And it just, you could see that the star power just wasn't there anymore at all. Like, you got stars, but like everything else under it was just mostly garbage.
Yeah.
Like, I don't look back fondly around that time period. I would say from like 93 to about late 95, maybe even, yeah, because 92 was good. I remember 92 was kind of around the time it's like you got Bret Hart, Razor, all these guys, and they're kind of intermixing between the world title, Intercontinental. So, like, that was good. But once it started bringing in all those gimmicks.
Yeah, that's some things that just suck. It's, I hated when wrestling started changing, where there was a time when it was WrestleMania, the main event usually was the big one. It was for the championship, the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship, whatever. That is what it was about. And then other crap, like when you're talking about other crap ones, I think it was WrestleMania, was it 11 or 12? I think 11, where their main event was Bam Bam Bigelow against Lawrence Taylor. I was like, what? Who gives two rats crap about this? But that's their main event? It's like, yeah. Why did that change? I mean,
That's a thing where Vince is like, you know, I'm in all the papers and all this. Like, he wants the attention. And, you know, credit to Lawrence Taylor, because he actually went out there and tried. You can't say that for some of the other celebrities. But, yeah, it didn't make sense. That would be like having that match where it was like Stephen Amell from Arrow and Neville against Stardust, and I don't even remember who the fuck the other person was, but having that main event, that SummerSlam pay-per-view, it just doesn't
make sense. Some don't seem like they should be main event matches. That's what I mean. If you're wanting to hype, and you usually have, I mean, the main champion is usually what it's supposed to be the championship for. You know, sometimes it was even an order. They sometimes have an Intercontinental, maybe the heavyweight championship or a filler match between or whatever it might be, but you just figure that should be the big thing, and some of the things that they've done for their main events are pretty damn questionable to where I thought that just didn't have.
Makes me think of WrestleMania 8 where Hogan goes on last in the main event, but the title match is before that. You know, it's Flair and Macho Man.
And that is also the other thing that I would change. That should have been Flair Hogan. I know that they had their issues with, I don't want to lose and all this shit. It's like, just put that aside. Have the match. You're going to make a shitload of money. Everybody wants to see that. And then a couple years later in WCW, they're like, oh, yeah, okay, everything's fine now. Like,
yeah, then no problem putting each other over then. And Flair did it no problem, you know, for the most part. But you never could understand why Flair would not put Hogan over. And I could get why Hogan's not going to put him over because, you know, he's Vince's property, and have Flair come over. Yeah, you expect Flair to put him over because that's what he does. He's a chicken shit heel and talks a big talk, and even if Hogan beat him, he said, well, you still don't have the real title, whatever the case may be. But I think that should have been the main event. But, yeah. You know, I know Joe would probably disagree since Warrior made his epic comeback at WrestleMania 8, you know, but that's something that kind of feels like I've always been, you know, more prone to the title needs to be that's the crowning moment, that crowning jewel moment. To not have that,
you're right. It's like in different orders at times. Sometimes it used to be, you know, for the heavyweight championship was the main thing. Then it started coming to sometimes, who's the more popular person? What's going to be the big attraction that's bringing people to WrestleMania that now we're going to put in the main? Because you're right. I mean, I know Hogan, like you said, that wasn't the main event, but it was still, they wanted to, like you said, save the thing with Warrior's Return to end with that, because that crowd, that ovation, when that music hit, you remember when they said, you know, Beefcake can't help him, he doesn't have any friends left, and that music hit, that crowd lost its shit. I never have heard cheering like that, and his ass ran 100 miles an hour to the ring, did his thing, and I guess that's the way you're going to close it, with the fireworks going off, where it looks like the smoke was burning the Warrior's eyes, having him cough or something, but hell, that was the way to end it, though. It was intense. Well,
but that still could have worked, and Nathan may or may not back me up on this one here. But you look at what stole the show at WrestleMania 18 with Rock and Hogan. Now, everyone's going to remember that one for that match, but that was not the main event. Most people probably would have said it should have been, but they kept the title match, and Triple H becomes undisputed champion. But Hogan and Rock's match stole the show, regardless of the mess-ups in the ring and stuff like
that. Yeah, I was actually going to bring that up. I was going to be like, here's an instance where, you know, the title didn't need to go on last. Like, that was the match that should have been the main event. And it's also another thing of like, well, I guess nowadays it would be harder to be like, well, what's drawing the money here? Like, there's not, like, if we look at the card today, you know, it is a drawing point, Roman Reigns, Brock Lesnar. To some people, it might be. I don't know. I can't personally see why, because we've already had that as a Mania match, and they had to have shenanigans and have a twist to make that even interesting. Shinsuke and AJ Styles, I would say, would be a huge draw for, you know, the hardcore wrestling fan, because
Should be a good ass match.
Yeah, that's the one match I think on that card I'm genuinely looking forward to. You know, Braun is getting over. Who's going to be his mystery tag partner? That would be a good build up.
I'm gonna guess Rey Mysterio. I'll say Rey Mysterio will be his partner. That's my guess.
I think it would be hilarious if it was James Ellsworth, honestly, to bring it full circle. I'm gonna throw this out there for today's show. I told someone at work about this because someone started talking about wrestling. And I was like, "Oh, what, you're talking about wrestling here? Let me tell you some things." Here's what I think they should do, because it would be a twist, and it would be equivalent, I think, to Undertaker streak ending. Asuka's facing Charlotte, right?
You so, think I got a prediction, but you go ahead and then I'll give you my prediction afterwards.
What they should do, have Asuka beat her and some sort of shenanigans happen. And Carmella comes down and cashes in, ends Asuka's streak. Oh, can you just imagine? Like, one, the heat. Two, just the disbelief on everybody's face. They would be like, oh, my
God. Out of all people. Well, you know, it's funny. I had two things. That's the one thing I thought. I was like, Carmella has been holding on to that Money in the Bank briefcase for so long. She's got to cash in sometime, and it's got to be WrestleMania. And I was thinking, would they be that ballsy to have it? Because I think
they should, because, you know, Asuka's had this undefeated streak, and it's like surpassed Goldberg's. And, I mean, she's been undefeated since she's been in the company. What better way? Because she's going to have to go in some direction. You can't just have her beating everybody, because then it
makes... Right, I mean, she eventually has to lose.
But if you do that in this weird chicken shit, like the heat on Carmella, because she's not that good as a wrestler.
I want to see more of her, because I love looking at her, and I wish they would let her wrestle more. So, yeah, maybe. Or she'll, like, flip the script. Maybe, you know, let's say, hypothetically, Nia Jax beat Alexa Bliss, and then Carmella interfered in that, and she switched to Raw. But I don't know.
They got to do that Asuka thing. It would, because you're ending her streak. Asuka officially loses. You got the belt on this person that like no one likes, but it's gonna add more heat to her.
I like
her. And they like having their WrestleMania moments trademark now. You know, they don't let that stuff happen naturally like they used to. It's they have to force it down your throat like they do with Roman Reigns and like they did with John Cena. And I guess that's the other part of why wrestling's not that good anymore. Like, when people took to somebody, they actually sort of noticed and listened, and now they don't do that because they have it set in their mind.
Look how long it took for them to finally realize how much everybody was into Daniel Bryan, of putting on his performance and his show and everything, and then they finally give him a chance, and unfortunately then he has issues with his neck or whatever, and then he can't wrestle no more, but now he's coming back. But
now he's back.
It's like they're really forcing that Roman Reigns thing. It's just, when I watch the paper, I mean, anything, you watch Raw, you watch pay-per-views, they boo him out of the building. The only ones you see cheering are women that are into him or some of the young kids, because not even all young kids like him, but damn it, they're just really shoving him. If you thought Cena was being shoved down your throats, they're trying this Roman thing like crazy. But then some people might argue, well, who else would have the star power? I mean, I think there's plenty of other wrestlers that can do it. It's just he's being given this, you know, golden ticket. But he's a guy with no charisma. He doesn't have personality. You got to, like I said, you got to be able to work that crowd. You be able to talk and speak and feel like you have emotion and you're alive and that you're just not kind of robotic.
I would also blame not only Vince, but I also blame the fact that he is also being told to say certain things, that he can't get himself over with promos and be a cool baby face or a badass heel because he's being instructed to say suffering succotash and stupid stuff like that. You know, it's hard to get behind and support someone from a, you know, I mean, we don't want to see Arnold and Stallone playing heroic characters with really goofy ass sayings. We wouldn't want to see Dutch, you know, saying lines like, you know, what killed the dinosaurs, the Ice Age, you know. No, it was just, it kills the momentum of supporting a badass. And it's probably not Roman's fault because obviously he was real popular with the Shield, but to make him a babyface and being said to say all these goofy things. I mean, guys don't want to see their heroes act like fools, you know, and regardless of...
And you know what he needs?
Why, and I've never understood why they you know, even though I don't watch it, I know they've been pushing Roman for so long, but when you look back at the in the 90s when it was Lex and Brett, and they had it convinced that Lex was going to be the new Hogan, but the people chose Brett, and they got to where it wasn't even a full year before they realized, you know what, we can't keep pushing Lex. They want Brett. So Brett goes over at WrestleMania 10 instead of Lex Luger in the title match. So it's kind of one of those things like, well, you had no problem back then. Why is it you're insisting on it's not working? How many years now has Roman been in the main event?
Three, spot? I think it's been three. No, is it three?
Let's see. He was in. It was him and Brock at 31. 32 was.
Or I don't know.
32 was him and Triple H.
Oh, okay.
Last year was Taker, right?
Yeah, so this would be his fourth year in a row main eventing, I think.
Yeah.
It's
still not working. Like,
you know what he needs? I'll tell you what he needs, Nathan. How about this for another twist? It won't happen, but I'm going to give you Joe Amato's twist. In the main event, or, well, whatever, when it's Roman against Brock, and since Roman can't talk worth anything. Just like people could say the same for Brock Lesnar. His actions speak as, you know, for his words. What about Paul Heyman double crossing Brock at the end of the match? Then Roman wins, and then Paul Heyman becomes the advocate and the speaker for Roman Reigns since he can't do it. Wouldn't that be a weird twist?
It would be a weird twist, but I don't think that. I don't know. Like, Heyman's one of those guys. Heyman's a great talker, but
he is.
He has. It's also the same. Like, he's doing the same thing over and over again, and I don't know.
You get him going, he can go. Like, you know?
It wouldn't be as impactful had it been, you know, many years ago when Brock was getting over real hot and Heyman was his spokesman. You know, that I think that would have made more sense. Even though when Brock came back and Heyman's with him, it was like, okay, you remember old times. But I just think that would have had the impact that it would have, like, as it would have, you know, years earlier when they were really a couple, so to speak. Like, they were a pair.
I think Roman is capable of talking like that. You see little glimmers of it, but if they would just abandon the whole script thing, like, just give them guidelines. Go out here, say these things, say what you want, but make sure you just A, B, and C.
Unfortunately, you know? One that when I watch, he looks like he's the only one that really kind of, along with Bailey, some people need that little bit of script and help, because otherwise it's like, you know, I'm going to make you my bitch. Like, he always end everything with that. I'm like, that's so original. We haven't heard this
it's cheap talk where if you have to throw in words like, I'll make you my bitch. I'm like, what are we, Thug Life from the 90s? I mean, come on.
And he does it. That is how he ends a lot of saying, I'm going to make you my bitch. I'm like, okay, that's really easily said. So he just,
I'm just trying to think of what would work for him now. Like,
I don't know.
Turn him heel. Because people are booing him, you know, do like they did with The Rock when they tried to force The Rock as a great baby face and people turned on it because they thought his gimmick sucked. Why not have Roman do that? I mean, not you're gonna have the same success as The Rock, but it's the same scenario where you're pushing him, but the people aren't accepting him, so turn him heel and have him go spit on the people because they.
Where do you go from there if you turn him heel?
And if he does, he has to have charisma and character. That's the thing. When The Rock, you know, right, he was so baby-faced and looked so, you know, like, you know, hey, he's just what everybody's got to go for. And then people hate it. Die, Rocky, die. Rocky sucks. Then, bam, his stuff kicked in with him and his character. And then it's a charisma that he has and a way to speak. And then as much as you were wanting to hate him, then you started liking him. But I don't know if Roman, if he became heel, can have that natural charisma. In a way,
he's not going to be given that opportunity if he's still, you know, chained at the neck to not wander off the property and kind of venture out and see what else he can do.
It'd be interesting. Yeah, I'd like to see if they could try that.
But it's not repeating the success. It's just that has worked so well with heels and stuff like that. The heels come out and turn on the people. Like Hogan turning. You know, heel when, you know, people weren't too keen on him in WCW. Well, we turn him heel. He starts bashing the fans because you guys were turning on me and everything. And it worked, you know,
it'll be interesting what happens tonight.
Yeah. They should just turn him heel, have him ditch the shield gear too. I think that's part of the problem
thing too. If he needs to break out and he come to the ring, look, you know, dress sharp, looking like a cocky asshole, you know, I mean, not to copy The Rock, but The Rock came to the ring wearing, you know, button-up clothes. I mean, real expensive button-up shirts and pants and sunglasses. And, you know, from what I gather, too, I mean, it was a new outfit all the time. He was buying new expensive clothes to invest in the fact that this guy's a cocky prick who hates the people because they didn't accept him. You know, and it's real. That's a real storyline that he turns heel because no one likes him. You know, that's kind of a shoot in a way. You know, that's, you know. It's an understandable turn, you know.
Yeah, but Vince won't do it.
No. All right, well, let me get on a more higher note here. What are some of your all's favorite undercard matches from WrestleManias? You know, matches that were not the highlight, but they made the highlight because, you know, like the Triangle Ladder match of WrestleMania 2000, you know, or Jake and Steamboat and Macho Man, or
I'm going to get some heat for this one. I don't think – I mean, it's good, but I think people think that Steamboat Savage match is like the end-all, be-all everything, and yeah. I would watch it. And I'm like, it's good, yes, but it didn't like – I was never blown away by it.
I get it. I don't disagree with you on that.
Joe, you got any undercard matches? I got to sit here and think for a second.
I mean, there's a lot from the past. I can't really think of.
Oh, he kicked his leg out of your leg, you know?
Yeah, there you go. I don't know, there's ones where I guess maybe you could have wanted more to happen, didn't get out of it what you wanted, but I always loved watching Owen Hart wrestle, and I remember, oh God, was it 14, WrestleMania 14 or 15 when he wrestled Jeff Jarrett? I love seeing Owen perform, and I love watching Jeff Jarrett. I mean, he was a great wrestler, too. And I just can't remember if that was 14 or 15.
Well, what's that, Tyler? You don't like Jeff Jarrett at all?
No, I even as a kid, I'm like, he just stunk as a heel. I just thought it was like he was someone who desperately wanted to be a great heel or whatever. I'm like, God, he just sucks. Like, I just don't like Jeff Jarrett. He just doesn't have it.
Well, what I do know is, you know, like, because Tyler wanted to ask us, and including he's going to get his, too. He was wanting us to, like, pick an era of wrestling and pick wrestlers that we would like to see in our kind of maybe, not definitive WrestleMania, but if we were just to book a WrestleMania, some matches maybe we'd like to see from a certain time period, 80s, 90s, late 90s, early, you know what I mean? Well, maybe around the late 90s, or excuse me, 80s, like, you got to start with undercards. And I remember when Ronnie Garvin first came to WWF, because I remember him from, I couldn't remember if it was WCW, NWA, what they used to call it back in the day, but it was different seeing him here as rugged Ronnie Garvin. But two kind of brawlers, maybe to start off a WrestleMania, could have been him and Haku, because Haku got to, as Ming, really display how strong and tough the guy was. I felt like he didn't get enough of that in WWF. You know, being either Haku or King Haku, whatever they'd want to call him. But those could have been two rugged guys to be the starter for WrestleMania. And then if you wanted to put, like, let's say this is, you know, gloves are off. You can have good guys against good guys, bad guys, and make whoever what, however you wanted. But I always like Strikeforce. I like Tito Santana and Rick Martel, and I like their theme song when they come out. And picture two of the kind of high flyers against the Rockers, if we could have got that kind of match of them in their heyday and prime. So it would have been a cool tag match. I don't know if you would say, hey, it could be for the tag team championship if you want it. Go ahead and do it. And I'm trying to think of all the things that was in my head of the ones I liked. I think I even had a gimmick match. I was like, hell, put the Red Rooster against the Blue Blazer. Just go ahead. Two goofy gimmick characters.
Face. Yeah, go ahead. Man, you're wasting your WrestleMania card, man. Putting Terry Taylor on there. Jesus Christ.
You gotta have your fillers. Hey, this is late 80s. You gotta put your filler matches on there.
Red Rooster, though? Like, really? Hey, oh, God,
Joe. You got a rooster and you got a blue blazer. It looks like a bird. So you got two birds. You got two. I was gonna say you got a cockfight.
Well, why don't Kobe Ware in there make it a triple threat?
No, yeah, Kobe Ware sucks too, man.
Okay, then you could have Mr. Perfect against Brutus Beefcake. I know you're a big Beefcake fan. Nathan
sucks. Well,
that's because you're a big fan. I'm doing this for you. Oh,
I love how Nathan's not being nice about this.
He's
like,
that's what I like. I know he's a big Beefcake fan. That's why I'm throwing it. You could have Rick Rude, and this could have been in the '89 era. Rick Rude against Macho Man. I would have loved to have seen Honky Tonk have a kind of a good match with the Warrior, where of course the Warrior would win, but Ultimate Warrior, and let Honky Tonk, let him have another match at, you know, let him fight at WrestleMania, but this time don't have Honky get, you know, squashed so quickly. You know, maybe he could try some underhanded stuff, you know, doing something. Maybe the referee's looking the other way, bam, Jimmy Hart, you know, hits the Warrior with the guitar in the head or something. But and then have a big man match. You could have Andre the Giant against Akeem, the African of Dream. You know, go ahead and have two big giants going at it. But
support that one. Akeem versus Andre. That's like rock.
But as for the main event, this is the guy that I want to win for the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship. I want Bad News Brown to beat Hulk Hogan, because I always wanted Bad News Brown to beat Hogan. Even there are days when I told you I was watching on TV and Bad News Brown announced on the microphone, it's Ghetto Blaster time, Fool and Eyeballs. I remember being so pissed. I said, damn it, why did you say that? Because now Hogan's going to move. And then Bad News Brown goes for off the ropes, a running Ghetto Blaster, which he's never done. He always just stood in place and bam, hit somebody with the Ghetto Blaster and he missed. So in my main event at WrestleMania, Bad News Brown would beat Hulk Hogan and become the new World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship.
I like that idea.
Or champion, I'm sorry. Champion.
Just get Red Rooster off your fucking card.
Oh, that's an undercard match. You know you had those fillers. Think of all those goofy undercards they had in the 80s. All the
qualified wrestlers to fill the undercard.
Well, hell, I think they were. Well, I mean, they've been there. They were in those, I think, some of those WrestleManias. I thought you did have. Hell, you had Red Rooster, I think, against Bobby Heenan and Brooklyn Brawler.
But it's combined, like, if you want, I mean, you had the late 80s and early 90s. You got the whole 80s.
I'm just going with the 89. I'm just doing the 89 era. That's what I mean. So this is wrestlers I knew.
Whoever was available in 89.
I was just doing basically 89 era. So I'm figuring gimmicks, and these are probably things you could have seen. But this is my little 89 era gimmick WrestleMania card.
All right, Tyler, go ahead. I hope Red Rooster's not on your card.
No. Oh, God.
No. Or Beefcake. If you put Beefcake on your card.
Either is Warrior.
That's it. I'm out. See ya.
Yeah.
No Warriors is bullshit.
But, I mean, my opening match would probably be Macho Man and Honky Tonk Man. It's just a fun single grudge match to open it up with, you know, two great wrestlers telling a great story in the ring. Then I'd have... the tag team titles up for grabs with the Rockers versus what I like to call Rude Perfection, Mr. Perfect and Rick Rude, with the Rockers going over. Or it really wouldn't matter. It would just be a great match anyway because they're just both very fast, great sellers. All four of those guys could sell and move fast in the ring. It would just be, I think it would blow everyone to the back of the arena the way Rude and Perfect would sell, the way the Rockers would sell. God, it would be just an incredible tag match, I think. Then I'd have a fun six-man grudge match with Piper and Legion of Doom versus Bad News Brown and Demolition, with just for fun, you know, not an elimination, just for the single pinfall. Then I'd have heel Jake Roberts versus Bret Hart for the Intercontinental title. Probably have Bret go over. In that one, just because I was telling Nathan that was scheduled for SummerSlam 92 to have Jake and Bret, probably for the Intercontinental title. I thought, oh my God, man, what a, and it was after Jake had threatened to not go out and wrestle Undertaker at WrestleMania 8, yeah, 8, and the proposal or what was scheduled was going to be Jake and Bret at SummerSlam. I'm like, oh man. So ever since I heard that, I'm like, God, that would have been so awesome to see those two guys in the ring. And then my main event would be Hogan and DiBiase for the title, since they had small programs together, but not like something that was a single main event. Like they would be involved in tag matches against each other, main events, but not a single main event for the title. Like, that's what I wanted to say. That's what I always wanted to see, was Hogan versus DiBiase with Hogan going over. And I would put the title on DiBiase going into the pay-per-view. I would have Hogan chasing the belt. I did not want him with the belt. I want the idea that DiBiase has successfully won the title leading up to WrestleMania, with Hogan winning the Rumble or something to set those guys up. That's how I would book that.
That's way better than Joe's.
Thank you. Hey, I'm just here for the fun. I was just creating my 89 card. Like I said, these are all existing wrestlers that I think every one of them I mentioned did participate in that WrestleMania 5. So it was just me rearranging and doing things maybe in my own twisted world. And also, JSP mentioned something in the chat room I didn't know. He said, Bad News Brown, he said, a legit tough guy, 1976 Olympic bronze medal in judo. I never knew that. Thanks for letting me know. Wow.
Sounds about right. He seemed like a pretty bad motherfucker.
He challenged Andre the Giant to a fight. So, ain't not too many people walked away and survived doing that.
I mean, I guess my main event for the title would be like Abe Knuckleball Schwartz versus Duke the Dumpster Drosy.
Hey, here you go. Talk about some damn gimmick characters. Would Sebastian Booger be the guest referee?
No, he's going to be wrestling for the Intercontinental
title. Bastion Booger. I think it was Bastion Booger. God, they had so many goofy-ass gimmicks. You're right. There's a lot of them.
I'm going to go for the cheap pop and kind of do the thing of the invasion done right. So my WrestleMania 18 card would kind of follow a thing like, all right, you know, Survivor Series that year, WWF vanquishes WCW, but around the Royal Rumble, like, Flair's already back. Like, you know, he came back that night after he's this, and it, you know, had this weird thing where it turns out, like, hey, I bought all these contracts out, so, you know, Sting, Hogan, all these guys are going to come in. Because you got to think, too, like, Hogan and them didn't come back to what, February of that following year?
Yeah.
So, I don't really have, like, match types completely planned out in my head, but, you know, it would be a thing where you have Hall, Nash, Hogan, Sting, Goldberg, all those guys show up, and they're like, you may have beaten these guys, but you didn't beat us kind of thing. So, it's like they're the invasion's kind of back on, but in the proper way. So you could have those dream matches of Sting Undertaker, which would be kind of tricky because, you know, at this point, like, the streak has started to become a thing and it's starting to be acknowledged. So it would either be like singles matches like that, where it's Sting Undertaker, probably do Rock and Goldberg. Cause to me, I never wanted to see like Goldberg and Austin. You want to do Hogan and Austin because that would be a thing of, you know, Austin and Hogan. I can just imagine that on the mic of like, well, Hogan's, I made all this money, and Austin's like, yeah, but you know what? I made more. So it's like a battle of like, who is the main man for wrestling? Cause it's kind of like Hogan, Macho Man, and Austin and Rock are kind of like those four guys that
I'd agree with that.
That, you know, I'd probably keep Triple H off my card. Just be like, he's
so he still, can bury everybody.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he was still just about to come back. He came back at the Rumble. So I would maybe just keep him off just a little bit longer to maybe like that night after WrestleMania, bring him back to sort of like sway the tide, because you want these WCW guys. Like, I would have Hogan, let's say Austin is the champion here, have Hogan beat him somehow, so Hogan's the champion again, and maybe, I don't know, they could, then you could probably do the thing where it's like, oh, well, the NWO's back. Like, they're all together, but then it turns into a thing. I don't know. I was just, mine isn't as concise as your guys, but I always wanted the invasion done right. I always hated the fact that, you know, that night after WCW's gone, here's Ric Flair, and then, oh, here's the NWO. It's like, I really wish they would have put aside collecting that Turner money, as nice as it was. Think about how much money you could have drawn if you just would have come back. Like, probably a shitload of money, more than what you're getting paid to sit at home, but I understand that.
Well, and it would have made the most epic WrestleMania period to have had all those dream matches. All the whole card is just focused on dream matches. I mean, they couldn't top WrestleMania again if they had done that successfully with Sting and Undertaker, Hogan and Austin. You could have the Horsemen or a version with Benoit and Flair. I mean, you could have done so many epic things with that. Or I mean, Jericho and of course, I'm just trying to think. By that time, Jericho was like full on WWF, so Booker T. God, yeah, I agree with Nathan. That would have been an amazing WrestleMania to have successfully crossed over all the flagship guys from WCW of Goldberg and the NWO, booked properly, and not just because, well, we're WWF guys, we're not putting you guys over. Like, do business here, all right? For Christ's sake. You know, this is not real. You know, we're doing this for business, to please fans. We're not doing this to placate your old egos here. You know, I get it. You know, yes, we beat them. They tried to beat us, but we hired them to do business. You know, let's not sit and, you know, fuss. Or I ain't putting them over.
It just would have been a cool idea to think that the invasion's over and then all these guys show up and it's like, no, it's not. Like, we are WCW, not Sean Stasiak and
Sean O'Hare and
Chuck Palumbo and all those assholes. Like, no, like, this is the legit invasion. It starts now.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. That'd have been awesome.
Yeah.
Yep,
No Red Rooster. I mean, you know, Beefcake could come back as like the disciple or the booty man or something.
How many damn gimmicks did he have afterwards? That poor guy, Jesus.
Man, he was booty man, Zodiac when he joined Dungeon of Doom.
Then I think he had that goofy white makeup or something.
Yeah. Yeah, it was like the he looked like a zebra.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Man, that sucked. Dungeon of Doom sucked. Jesus.
Because Joe needs to know this, because one of the things that made my friendship with Nathan so special was his anger for wrestling. You know, and because he would get pay-per-views, he'd come to school on Monday morning really pissed off, to the point where he's sitting hanging his head at the lunch table in the cafeteria before we're dismissed to go to class. I mean, just angry as hell. And a lot of times you kind of felt bad because he was so angry, but it was also hilarious. And nothing will ever top Nathan's reaction. Even when we went to the ball end, he's screaming in the waitress asks if he's all right, and he's just mad at other.
That's serious, Jesus.
Well, here's the thing. Well, with that situation at the bowling alley, it was Chris Jericho was taking on Randy Orton, I think, for the title, right? And Jericho had just come back. This was like his second run after he had left for a couple years. So he's back. He's in the title picture. I'm just like, yeah, all right, this is cool. Maybe Jericho can finally get that run of sort of being like a top guy, because like he kind of got there before, but you know, they always looked at him as like a mid-card IC title guy. So it gets to the end of the match, and Bradshaw comes in.
God, I was.
And I'm just like, God, they're gonna go with Jericho and Bradshaw. That's his next feud, and I'm just like yelling. And like I put my head down, and I'm just like, and the waitress comes over and looks at Tyler and is like, "Is he okay?" I'm like, yeah, it's just it's bullshit. I'm sorry. Like, why would you do that? But no, go ahead, Tyler. You're gonna talk about WrestleMania 17.
Yeah, WrestleMania 17 was a big one, because I remember watching the build up. I thought the build up was great with how they were natural. I mean, with Rock and Austin, they're playing Limp Bizkit's My Way. It was a fun build-up, so you just felt like with everything that had lined up, the triangle ladder match again, a great WrestleMania, and Nathan came to school that day. Just, I mean, he was a broken man. I mean, he was just so angry and furious of how that the main event ended, with McMahon coming down with like 30 minutes left in the match, so the ending is spoiled when he hands him the chair, and the match continues and goes on and on. And the crowd just kind of sits there quietly, but JR is selling it, you know, as if, you know, the Antichrist has appeared in front of everybody. And Nathan was just so, God, I'll never forget how angry he was of how they booked that match with Vince coming down way too early, spoiling the ending, and nobody cared.
Yeah. I don't even know why you would do that to begin with. Like, after so much they've been through, oh, now all of a sudden we're buddy-buddy. Like, that was starting to reach that dropping-off point for me. I'm like, well, WCW's dead. What are they going to do? Oh, they're turning Austin heel. What? Yeah. All right, let's see how this goes. And then it turned into a thing where it's like, oh, here's WCW. Oh, Austin jumped over there. Why? That doesn't make any sense.
Makes no sense. No.
Why would he want to be with them? He hated WCW for so long. Why would you join him now? This is fucking dumb. It's because they didn't have any star power. So I would come in to like school and everything, and I'm just like, why are they doing this? This is stupid. This doesn't make any sense. And Tyler's just sitting there like, ha, ha, ha.
I went home that afternoon and watched it, because my mom had brought a tape copy from work home for me and my brother to watch. And I enjoyed most of the pay-per-view, but it was a bad, I mean, the match was good up until that point, and then because I knew what Nathan told me, it was just, I see why he was so mad. Like, you know how it's going to end. Like, there is this kind of cool twist. Like, no, not really. He's just kind of standing around, hands in the chair, with frequent chair shots again and again and again and again and again and again, and then pin. And, you know, then Nathan captured the sound clip. He had it on download for a long time of when the bell rang, and Jared goes, "Jesus Christ, God Almighty!" And he would just sit and play it over again because of how over the top Jar was about it.
He sure did so much, didn't he?
Hilarious. I wish Joe had been there, you know, to have seen all this stuff. But, oh, it was that. And when Santa came back surprisingly at the Royal Rumble and won it, that was something me and Nathan both were pretty upset about. We saw this real skinny guy with really long hair walk up to the TV and flip it off as he walked out of the bowling alley. It was
funny. That was, I think he's wearing a Triple H shirt. That was hilarious. I'm like, yeah, the ending of this sucked, but like watching that guy get that mad, like that made it for me.
That's great. Nathan feeds off the anger.
The things I love about Nathan is his passion for wrestling, because of how angry he'd get. he'd give me grief all the time about being a Jeff Hardy fan or a Randy Orton fan, but God, man, he would sell it. I mean, better than Shawn Michaels and Hulk Hogan at SummerSlam if he didn't like something in wrestling. I mean, God, man, there was no bringing him down, man. That ship had went floated up into the air and it was on its way to outer space with anger, man. It was incredible to see him as angry as he'd get, man.
Still understand some of the decisions that are made. Like, no one there just like, hey, you know what? This doesn't make sense, and we're probably going to drive a lot of people off if we do this. I don't care. It's great. Oh.
That's awesome. Well, man, that might be I think our show wrapped up here. Well, of course, we'll have our closing stuff, but I'm sure later, yes, people will be watching WrestleMania, but for those who might be and aren't going to watch WrestleMania tonight, Tyler and I will have Mark Taylor and Rebecca Taylor on Fans of Power. So we're going to be talking with the man who's responsible for the creation of how He-Man looks, Skeletor, Beastman, Castle Grayskull. It's going to be great to pick his brain. So if you want to join us for Fans of Power tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern time, we look forward to having you in case you do show up.
Yeah,
that sounds like a really, really good, interesting show. Yeah, I might have to like pop in on the stream and check you.
We are going to be
doing that while Mania is playing in the background and I'm about to fall asleep.
Yeah, we will definitely be picking his brain, Rebecca's brain, but this is going to be a good one. I'm sure there's questions that yes might have been asked before, but you know how Tyler and I get. We'll be asking him things probably he's never been asked and nobody's asked him. So this is going to be fun.
You tell him about your idea for Red Rooster on your WrestleMania undercard. I think.
Oh, yeah, as long as he can bring him into the world of if you can bring him into Masters of the Universe and create him into some kind of rooster character, that'd be the cool shit. We'll make sure that
your head is walking around with like the red rooster hair and everything and doing the fucking thing.
That was one horrible fucking gimmick. I gotta admit, when Terry Taylor,
I feel like that's gonna be a running gag on this podcast. So we still somehow managed to work in a Red Rooster, knock at Joe. Just for the idea of suggesting Red Rooster.
Like I said, that's why I put it in the gimmick. They were both on that card, him and the Blue Blazers, so I figured, hell, put the two real gimmicks against each other. But I do remember when he first became the Red Rooster, and I heard that music, he's coming down, he's got that red shirt. I was like, what the? Even back then as a kid, when you're watching, I was like, what the frick is this? The Red Rooster? I mean, I know we got gimmicks, but that one was a damn doozy. Oh, he must have felt so embarrassed.
He can't be too embarrassed. You just gave him a WrestleMania payday.
Hell yeah. Well, he did have his WrestleMania payday. He wrestled there. But now I'm just putting him against, like I said, I'll put him in there with the Blue Blazer. So, all right. And JSP said, to this day, Bruce Pritchard justifies the Red Rooster gimmick.
Well, he does. Wholeheartedly.
Okay, well, how you want to wrap us up, Nathan? Tell everybody what we got to do or any closing things from you and Tyler.
Make sure you like, share, and subscribe if you haven't already. Click the bell button. That way you get the notifications. We put the Podbean link for the audio version in the description once it's available. Facebook page will be under there as well. And then the email address. I keep bringing it up every week. Still haven't really gotten anything, I don't think. I need to check again. But what's that, Tyler?
It's just crickets,
Yeah.
Nothing.
But I'll keep saying it. Maybe we'll get an email. Leave some comments on the video. Tell us about your dream WrestleMania card. If you would put Red Rooster on it like Joe would.
There you go. I just realized how bizarre this looked. I just seen me pop up down there. And I'm like, of course I'm drinking. But looking at this and seeing the mask, it looks like just shoving this into my... Yeah, it looks like I'm shoving this into my throat or something, and I'm putting it in the back of the mask, but this does look strange, I guess, for the viewers to watch me drink.
That'll be fine.
It looks so weird.
It's not the weirdest thing you've done on the show.
It's the only way I can do it. Like I said, but it looks like I'm shoving it into my throat or something, but I had to get something. Like I was telling Tyler, I was like, man, I always want to take a drink on the show, but I can't shove this bottle through my mouth, and some said, I don't want you to put a hole in the mask, but...
Yeah, I think more comical is if you're drinking a juice box, like a little juice box. Now that would be quite the gimmick for Joe. Like he's got little box of Ecto Cool. He just kind of sticks that little straw up underneath there, and
that would look twisted. But
takes a second. Like, yeah, Red Rooster's good, guys.
Yeah,
he's good. Look at these chicken gizzards.
Yeah, there you go. I have to get you guys some of them. So, All right. Well, that's it for me. You did your closings. I think, well, Tyler, I didn't know if you had anything in closing, but yeah.
All I got to say is, you know, we'll be back next week, and we're also going to, you know, hopefully we can make it relatively frequent. We're going to, you know, last week's commentary for Batman Animated Series, me and Nathan enjoyed it so much. We want to get Joe involved in that on a more regular basis. We don't know how Joe will show up for X-Men or not, but you know, we want to do a mini podcast of commentaries that we call Capes and Commentaries, where our focus will just be on superhero cartoons of the 80s and 90s. You know, we'll tackle Batman Animated Series, Justice League, Spider-Man from the 80s, maybe some of the 90s stuff, the X-Men Animated Series from the 90s, big time, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You know, a lot of, there's so much. I mean, we can, you know, kind of bounce all over the place, but that's something we'll devote a mini commentary, just commentary. There won't be like big epic discussions for like 30, 40 minutes before we do it. It'll just be the commentary of us talking about a particular episode. So we plan to launch that, the official first episode, next weekend. Maybe we might do two episodes. That way, you know, if we don't have time to always do it, we at least have got two in the bag or something like that. We're still trying to figure that out, but that'll be starting up next weekend. So, and we'll be doing Heart of Ice from Batman the Animated Series, and maybe another episode of Batman or Turtles or Spider-Man or X-Men. We haven't quite figured that out. But
the Heart of Ice possibilities are endless, and all of those cartoons had long, lengthy runs with plenty of episodes, so there's a lot to dig into with this show.
Yeah, so we hope you'll join us for that and enjoy more commentaries, because last week's was a blast, and we'll have JoJo joining the show as well on that one too. So that's all I got, and we'll figure out what we're gonna do next week. Maybe it'll be a movie if Joe feels like, we've done enough movies, guys. We need to do a TV show. Come on, guys.
Well, yeah, we'll figure out something for next week. I want to at some point down the road somehow return to wrestling, because there's just so much to talk about and so much to give Joe shit for.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, if anything, that'd be the fun part, is we talk wrestling so Joe can sit there and put over, you know, Aldo Montoya, you know, Man of War or something like that, which I liked his.
You liked his gimmick?
Oh, I remember when he first came out with that big ass thing on top of his head when he came, was like, what in God's name is this? And how Vince was really trying to sell, oh my God, what is that? You know, with his over the top shit. I was like, God, that's goofy. Hell, we'll talk about the.
About baby faces as a kid. I didn't care who it was, if it was a baby face job or what. I was strictly about the baby face. So I didn't care what the gimmick was. If he was the good guy, I was carrying a flag for whoever was the baby face.
We'll discuss when the Ninja Turtles wrestled for WWF at the time, too. So yeah, we got a lot of good things coming ahead. But, well, again, thanks everybody in the chat room for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it, and hope we see you later tonight, too. So see you guys. Enjoy your WrestleMania and Fans of Power tonight.
See you guys next week.
Later.